Okay, this week we are doing Maseches Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph. We did Daf Yud last time. Just to quickly review Daf Yud Amud Aleph. We mentioned three opinions on how much avir makes a situation of a sukkah tachas sukkah, meaning how much airspace is there in the top sukkah in order for it to be a problem of sukkah tachas sukkah. We had one opinion that it's one tefach, an opinion that it was four tefachim, and an opinion that it is ten tefachim. We then pointed out that the schach of the bottom sukkah needs to be able to hold pillows and sheets in order for the bottom sukkah to be puzzle as a sukkah tachas a sukkah. It's a machlokas if it only holds it al yedei adchak. We then mentioned that sheets that you put up for noi, for decorative purposes, do not puzzle the sukkah. You might think, well, if you're sitting under a sheet, you're not sitting under the schach, that should be puzzle, but if it's there for noi, if it's there for decorative purposes, it does not puzzle the sukkah. But if you put it up for other reasons, such as, who remembers, what other reasons might you put a sheet there? To catch the falling schach, good, or shade, then it's going to be possible. If it's for decorative purposes, it's kosher. For those other purposes, it would be puzzle. Then on Yudam and Vez, we pointed out that leaving dry clothing hanging over the sukkah. Remember, we had a story of the guy who left his clothing drying over the sukkah, so it gives the impression that you could be a mesachich with davar mekabel tumah, so it's a bad idea to do. Aye, but itayna, what do you mean? It's bad. What do you mean people are going to think that I'm using it for the schach? Aren't people going to realize it's just drying? So the answer is, well, once it's dry, you got to get it down. Right? While it's still wet, it's okay. It's not going to be a problem. Then we had a machlokas about noi that are four tefachim removed from the schach, and we wrote a story to try to prove that it's kosher. We rejected that story. It seems that the maskana is that noi that are four tefachim removed from the schach is at least a machlokas, and we paskin that it is possible, that when it's more than four tefachim removed from the schach, it is possible. The third point we made on Daf Yud Amud Beis is that sleeping under a bed or a tent is only a problem if the bed slash tent is 10 tefachim high, or it's kavua. If it's less than 10 tefachim, if it's kavua, it is also a problem. Finally, we pointed out in Daf Yud Amud Beis that a 10 tefach tent would not allow an arum, someone who's unclothed, to stick his head out and say Shema. You can't say, oh, the tent is my clothing, my head is outside of the tent, and I'm saying Shema. No, because the tent is not considered clothing. If it's tent vachamai, it's considered to be a room, and he is therefore completely arum. He is not able to say Shema. So we are up to Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph at the top, first row on the page. Ubayis Nami, this idea that we just said, that when something is less than tent vachamai, it still might be kavua, in the sense that, I'm sorry, it still might be considered a real oh, well, if it is kavua, so that's true of a bias as well. Aval b'shein kavua, sorry, even if it's not ten tefachim high, kivun to kavia, oalahu delogara mikinofos. If it's kavua, it's since it is kavua, it's considered an ohel. It's no worse than kinofos, which we said is considered to be an ohel, even though they're less than 10 tefachim high, because they are kavua. So who cares whether a bias is kavua or not kavua? So again, it matters in regards to sticking your head out and saying Shema. If a person is unclothed in a house that's less than 10 tefachim high, and he sticks his head out of the window and he says Shema, that is no good, because the house is considered to be kavua, and therefore it is considered an ohel. Lishna achrina. Now, another version of the whole preceding discussion that we discussed last time, Amrila says as follows. Amr Avidu Amr Shmuel, Mutu Lishan Bekilas Chasana Besuka, Lefi She'in Lagad. One is allowed to sleep inside of a canopy in the sukkah, a canopy contained within the sukkah. You're allowed to sleep in it because it doesn't have a roof. What do you mean it doesn't have a roof? Doesn't a canopy by definition have a roof? So what do you think it means it doesn't have a roof? Its roof comes to a point. It doesn't have a tefach wide roof. Its roof comes to a point. It's like sleeping in a, right, and it's a, like a triangular type of thing. So, even though it's more than 10 tefachim high, still it's okay. So the Gemara asks on that, but didn't we learn that if you sleep in a kilo, you sleep in a canopy in the sukkah, you are not yotzei your chiyuv? Sounds like it's bad to sleep in a kilo. Answers the Gemara, no, you know when it's bad to sleep in a canopy? When? What's the answer? When it has a roof. But if it doesn't have a roof, it's totally fine. What's the definition of a roof again? How do we define a roof? One tefach, a tefach of width at the top. Tashma, we have another raya. Naklitin shnayim, we spoke about different bedposts. So naklitin is when you have two posts, one at each end of the bed. V'kinofos arba'a. Kinofos is when you have four posts. Pires al gabe kinofos, if you spread a cloth over kinofos, over the four posts of the bed, psula, that's going to be possible to sleep inside of. Agabe naklitin, if you spread a post over the a sheet over the two posts of the bed, and what does that create, therefore, if it's spread over two posts? What kind of roof does that create? A triangular roof, which is not a real roof, and therefore, kshera. Ubulvad, but then we add on, that, yeah, that's kosher with the triangular roof. Ubulvad, shelo yuhu naklitin gvon min amita asar tvachim. Provided it's not 10 tvachim high. But didn't we just say that if it doesn't have a roof, it's allowed to be more than 10 tefachim high? It's still okay? You can sleep in a canopy that doesn't have a roof, even if it's more than 10 tefachim high? Now we're saying that as long as it's not 10 tefachim high, if it doesn't have a roof, it's okay. Which implies, ha-gavol min amita asara, had it been 10 tefachim high off the bed, psula, afal pishen lagag, that it's pasul, even though what? It doesn't have a roof. Even though it comes to a triangle, it comes to a point at the top, doesn't have a tefach wide roof, it's going to be puzzle if it's more than 10 tefach amai. Question mark. Answers the Gemara. What do you think the Gemara's answer is going to be? When do we ever say something less than 10 tefachim can be like it's 10 tefachim or higher? If it is, kavua. Shiny naklitin de kavi. Naklitin on a bed are considered kavua, and therefore, when they are less than 10 tefachim high, they are going to be, I'm sorry, and therefore, If it's more than 10 tefachim high, it's going to be a problem. If it's more than 10 tefachim high, even though it comes to a point, it's going to be a problem. Something that is not kavua would only be a problem if it is 10 tefachim high, right? But if it is, I'm sorry, if it has a roof and 10 tefachim high. But now klitin, if even is because it's kavua, it's a problem. Is going to be a problem if it doesn't have a roof and it's 10 tefachim high. Frak the Gemara I kavi lavi kikinofos. Well, if it's considered kavua, why don't we treat it like kinofos and therefore say it's pasul even if what? Even if what? What's it asking? It should be like kinofos and therefore be pasul. Even if it's what? Less than 10 tefachim high, exactly. And so the Gemara, legabi kinofos lo kvi, legabi ki lo kvi, that there are different levels of kavua. In comparison to kinofos, naklitin are not so kavua. In comparison to a kila, which is a canopy, then kinofos are kavua. So, I mean, then naklitin are kavua. So basically, there are three levels of kavios. What is the most kavua thing we have? Of the three, there are three items. There's kila, naklitin and kinofos. What's the most kavua of those three? No, anybody? What's the most kavua? Kinofos, correct. Kinofos are the most kavua. And therefore, kinofos are going to be a problem even when they are less than 10 tefachim high. Naklitin are in the middle. Naklitin are more kavua than a kila, less kavua than kinofos. And therefore, naklitin, even if it doesn't have a roof, if it's more than 10 tefachim high, is a problem. The least kavua is kila. And therefore, a kila, as long as it doesn't have a roof, I don't care how high it is, it's okay. Right? That's the order. That's those are the three levels. Darish Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Mutter lishin bekila, afal pi sheyesh lagag. It's mutter to sleep in a kila, even though it has a roof. Afal pi she gavo asara, even though it's 10 tefachim high. Right? That's what we just said before. So, Kiman, who's that going like? Ki Rabbi Yehuda. That's assuming like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Da Amar, here's a key phrase. Lo asi ohel arai, umevatel ohel keva. A temporary ohel is not going to overpower a more permanent ohel. Over here, you're inside a kila. The kila is a very temporary ohel. The more permanent ohel is your sukkah. So the fact that you're inside a kila, inside the sukkah, we treat it as if you're inside a sukkah, not that you're inside a kila, inside of a sukkah. The kila is insignificant in comparison to the sukkah. Main point number one, Rabbi Yehuda holds you can sleep in a canopy even if it has a roof and is tent of Achamai, because lo asi ol arayim vatal ol keva. You can, Rabbi Yehuda holds you can sleep in a canopy in the sukkah even if it has a roof and even if it's tent of Achamai, because lo asi ol aray umevatal ol keva. Just to make sure you understand that, would you be allowed to sleep in an aklitin that have a roof and that are tent fachamai? No, right? Because that's more kavua by nature. What about kinofos? That's tent fachamai. Definitely not, because that's the most kavua. It's dafka by a kila. Yes. Rabbi Yehuda holds you can sleep in a canopy even if it has a roof and is tent fachamai, because lo asi oel arayim mevatel oel keva. An Ohel Arai does not overpower an Ohel Keva. Ditnan, because we learned in the Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Noagin Hayinu Lishon Tachas Hamita B'fnei Azakenim. Rabbi Yehuda says, we used to have the minhag that we would sleep under the bed when we went to visit the rabbis in their sukkah. Ay, V'leima Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, why don't you just say, meaning if Rabbi Bar Rav Huna wanted to teach us this din, that an Ohel Arai does not overpower an Ohel Keva, so why did Rabbi Bar Rav Huna have to say, you know, I have an idea. You're allowed to sleep in a kila even if it has a roof and even if it's tent of achamai. Just say you're passing like Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll know what you mean. Rabbi Yehuda holds that an Ohel Arai can't overpower an Ohel Keva. So just say you're passing like Rabbi Yehuda. So Iyamar Alach Rabbi Yehuda, had he just said Alach Hazak Rabbi Yehuda, Hava Amina, I would have thought Hani Mili Mita. I would have thought that no, Rabbi Yehuda only says his din by a bed. What's his din? What do I mean? Rabbi Yehuda only says din by a bed. You're allowed to sleep where? In a sukkah under it, under the bed. That's where Rabbi Yehuda says, don't worry, you can sleep under the bed. The bed is insignificant. The sukkah overpowers the bed. I would have thought, yeah, that's dafka by a bed. You know why? Dilgaba asuya. Because the way a bed is made is it's meant to be slept on top of, not under. And therefore, when you're sleeping under it, the bed is considered insignificant because you're not even using it right. So it's not a real ohel. It's not meant to be an ohel. The bed is meant to be something you sleep on top of. So the bed is not a real ohel. It's not going to be a problem inside of your sukkah. That's what I would have thought. But a kila, what's a kila meant for? To sleep under it or on top of it? Under it. Dilatocha asuya, which is meant to sleep inside of it. Emalo, I might think that it's no good. Kamash malan, that's why Rabba Bar Rav Huna needed to teach me that Taimud Rabbi Yehuda, the real reason for Rabbi Yehuda is the Lo Asi Ol Arai Mevatel Ol Keva, that Ol Arai cannot overpower Ol Keva, and it doesn't matter what kind of Ol Arai it is, Lo Shna Mita, Lo Shna Kila, doesn't matter if it's a bed, doesn't matter if it's a Kila, either way they're both Arai and neither of them have the ability to overpower an Ol Keva. So basically, the main point that we said summarizes the entire Amud to this point. That one point, that Ohel Arai cannot be Mevatel Ohel Keva, and that's why you're allowed to sleep in a canopy, no matter how high it is, right? And even if it has a roof, that's why you're allowed to sleep under a bed. Good, that's all one point. Fine. New Mishnah. Yeah?
What they want to say? That we pass on like every year?
Instead of saying your own din, that, oh, you're allowed to sleep in a kila inside of a sukkah, say, Halach Rabbi Yehuda, we know what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're allowed to sleep under a bed. So you're just repeating the din in different terminology, makes it sound like you're saying something original, but you're really not. You're just saying what Rabbi Yehuda said. So say Halach Rabbi Yehuda.
But by saying Halach Rabbi Yehuda, you're not saying...
So by saying Halach Rabbi Yehuda, you might have thought that it's only in Rabbi Yehuda's case of a bed. Right. But in the case of a canopy, you might have thought it would be different. Kamash Malan, that it's no different. That's what he's trying to teach us, that it's not any different. Okay, the next sugya probably it would be helpful to have the picture book, not helpful for people who listen to a recording, but okay, let's see. It says in Mishnah, Hidla Alas Hagefen, if you run vines over your sukkah, Ves Hadalas, Ves Hakisus, Vesiche, whatever, all different kinds of things that are growing from the ground. I'm not sure what all of them are. You could look for an art school translation. But you take plants that are grown from the ground and you run them over your sukkah, on top of your sukkah, and then v'sikech al gaba, and then you put tzchach on top of that. Psula. The halacha is that it's pasul, because you're not allowed to use things that are still attached to the ground for tzchach, right? So the fact that that's part of your schach is pasul. But if you have more kosher schach than you have what? Then you have what? Then you have the pasul stuff, the stuff that's still attached to the ground. Or if you cut the stuff from the ground, meaning you have vines that you're running over your sukkah, then you cut them off, kshera, then it's going to be kosher. Okay. Zaklal, this is the rule. Kol shuhu mekabel tumah, anything that could be mekabel tumah, ve'ein gidulim min ha'aretz, or something that does not grow from the ground. Ein over here, ve means or, right? Because it doesn't have to be both mekabel tumah and ein gidulim min ha'aretz. Ein is mekabel tumah, or is ein gidulim min ha'aretz, ein misakchin bo. You cannot use it for schach. The called over she'eino mekabel tumah, but anything that is not mekabel tumah, v'gidulo min ha'aretz and grows from the ground, mesachin bo. It's important to know how to translate the letter vav in this Mishnah. The previous line, second to last line of the Mishnah means or, and the last line it means and. So basically, main point number two, schach kasher needs to be, what are the two qualifications schach kasher needs to be? You guys can do it. Gidula min ha'aretz and ena mekabel tumah. Needs to be something that grows from the ground and not mekabel tumah. It's like the easiest kind of thing to write a multiple choice question on. Grows from the ground and yes, mekabel tumah, doesn't grow from the ground. Or not mekabel tumah, like there's so many different permutations. In order for it to be kosher, it needs to be gidula min ha'aretz and not mekabel tumah. Fine. Yosef, Rav Yosef, kamei de Rav Huna v'yosef v'kamei. Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Huna and he was sitting there and saying, oh, shekatzan ksheira. He was reading our Mishnah and he was saying that if there's more kosher schach than pasul schach, or you cut the pasul schach to make it kosher, that's going to be kosher. V'omer Rav, and Rav said, cutting it's not enough. Sarich l'naneya, you also need to move it around a little bit. Why do you think that's so? Why would you need to move it around? You already cut it, so isn't it kosher? So there's a concept called ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, right? You need to make the schach. It can't be there already and then become kosher. You need to put kosher schach on your sukkah. So if it was on your sukkah as pasul, and then you just cut it at the roots, that's not going to be good enough. You then need to move it around to place it there. Amar le Rav Huna hashmuel amra. So this was Rav Yosef sitting in front of Rav Huna, right? And Rav Yosef says, yeah, Rav said you need to shake it up. So Rav Huna said, Hashmuel Amra. Hashmuel already said this din. Why are you saying that Rav said the din? That's Shmuel's din. Adrin Rav Yosef la'apes. Rav Yosef turned his face like in disgust. V'amalei, and he said, Atu mika minilach delo Amra Shmuel? Did I ever tell you Shmuel didn't say it? Amra Rav v'amra Shmuel. I told you Rav said it. So Rav and Shmuel both said it. What are you hacking me that? How could you say that Rav said this? After all, Shmuel said it. Okay, it's possible that Rav and Shmuel, you know, Rav and Shmuel probably both believe in Lo Sirtzach and Shema Yisrael, Shema Kedesh Shema. There are a lot of things that Rav said and Shmuel said also. It's okay for Rav and Shmuel to both say it. So Amr le Rav Huna, Hachi Kamin. Rav Huna says, no, but you didn't understand me. Hachi Kamin, look, this is what I meant to tell you. The Shmuel Amr v'lo Rav. Shmuel said what you said, and I know for sure Rav didn't. Rav would not say it. Would not say what? What are we talking about? What statement? The idea that you need to move it. That once you cut the schach, that you then need to move it around a little bit also. How do I know Rav did not say it? The Rav achshuri machshir. Rav would hold that it's kosher without moving it around. Rav, we know, would hold without moving it around. That's enough. What about tasa v'lom and asui? So if you look at Rashi, he explains, the kasavar kaziolz k'tzitzasa zuhi gemarasiyasa. You need to put kosher schach on. You know how you could put kosher schach on? By cutting it. That's called an action also. That's good enough according to Rav. You don't need to then shake it also. Ki had Rav Amram Chasida, similar to the Maisa, to the story of Rav Amram Chasida, or the halacha of Rav Amram Chasida, where Rama Tchilta le presumed the Inshibesa, where Rav Amram Chasida put on tzitzis on the begadim of his wife. His wife's begadim, he put tzitzis on it. Talan velo pasak rashi chutin shalahen, and he put them on in a way on the corners of the beged where all the strings were doubled over. So the only way to make them kosher would then be to cut the ends. So you'll have eight strings hanging down. You understand? They're like doubled over, so it's like they're looped. So it's like four strings coming out, but in loops. So they're not kosher. How are they going to be kosher? Only when he snipped them at the end. Now, just like by sukkah, we have a din of ta'asa, you have to make it. Veloman asui can't be prefab, pre-made. So too by tzitzis. Gedilim ta'asa, you have a mitzvah to make tzitzis. So if the tzitzis are already in the beged, and they're all tied, and now you're just cutting it, and that's what makes it kosher, that's no good. That's not ta'asa. Right? So he was talan velopasuk rashi chutin shalan. Asal kamed rabchia barashi, amarlei, Hachi Amar Rav Mafsukan Vehin Ksherin, and he came to Ravashi and he said, "Oh, Rav said all you have to do is cut them and that's good enough." Alma Psikasin Zuyas Yasin. What do you see? Rav holds. What does Rav hold? In order to make something kosher, all you need to do, cut it. You don't need to do anything else. Just cut it. Sachinami. So if that's what he holds by tzitzis over here, also by what? By sukkah. Ktsitzasin Zuyas Yasin. The cutting of the schach is going to be the making of the schach. Good, so that's why I told you, he says, that Rav never held you need to shake it. Shmuel holds you need to shake it. Rav holds that when you cut the sukkah, if you put vines that are still attached to the ground over your sukkah, and then you cut them, that's good enough. Just like by tzitzis, if you make it in such a way where it's puzzled, but cutting it will make it kosher, that's also good enough. That's what Rav holds. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel holds that's not called a maisa. The cutting itself is not a maisa. Got a question?
Yeah, why is he putting it on his wife's arms?
So apparently he held that either it's not a mitzvah say shazman grama, and therefore women are chayavos since it's as he held, right? That's a question. Is tzitzis a mitzvah shazman grama? So what do you think? Why should tzitzis be a mitzvah shazman grama?
Because you don't wear it at night.
How do you know you don't wear it at night?
Uri isem oso.
Now there's machlokas. Is uri isem oso prat luxus laila? Or is it prat luksusuma? Maybe that's just telling me a blind person doesn't need to wear tzitzis. But really, at night, you do have to wear tzitzis. If it's prat luksusuma, then it's not a time-bound mitzvah anymore. Right? Then it's a mitzvah that you have to do 24 hours a day. And if it's not a time-bound mitzvah, guess what? Women are chayavos. Even if they're not chayavos, it's possible that they're allowed to wear tzitzis. You know, they're not chayavos in sukkah either. We don't throw them out of the sukkah. Nachayavos in lulav, we let them take lulav. So, generally speaking, when women are nachayavos, they get extra credit for doing mitzvahs that they're nachayavos in their ena mitzvah v'yelsa. So, women technically are allowed to wear tzitzis. What? No, it's not a bracha v'atol. We paskin women make a bracha on sukkah. They make a bracha on lulav.
It's asher chances of vitzivanu. They weren't commanded.
Right. So that's the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam holds they can't say vitzivanu, and therefore Sephardi women do not make a bracha on sukkah, lulav, etc. But we paskin like the Balei HaTosfos, who hold that vitzivanu is going on Klal Yisrael. Women are definitely members of Klal Yisrael, so they could say vitzivanu. That as a nation we were commanded in this. Now they personally weren't, but that's okay. They could still say the bracha. So women could technically wear tzitzis. Now again, there's a gemara shir. There's not a halacha shir. If this was a halacha shir, I would then tell you that women shouldn't wear tzitzis because of the problem of beged ish. And also general problems of trying to figure out people's motivations in doing things. Rav Moshe writes a tshuva that in order to get around the beged ish problem, if a woman wants to wear tzitzis, two things. In order to get around those problems, she should wear like a pink colored beged or something that's clearly a feminine beged. And also, she should do it in a way that nobody knows about it. Because if she's doing it in a way that's very public, it's likely it's more of like a women's lib type of thing than it is really l'shem shemayim. What? Because 99.99% of the people that wear it are men. Only men wear it. Okay, but that's just the way it is. I mean, so you have to do it, make it a type of beggar that would be more of a feminine beggar. Okay, so anyway, that's a little off topic. Actually, main point number three. Shmuel holds that if trees were cut after already being on top of the sukkah, what do you need to do? You need l'nanea, you need to shake it. Rav holds. It's not necessary to be menanea, just like by tzitzis. Cutting is good enough. So again, Shmuel holds, if trees were on top of a sukkah and then you cut them, you need to be menanea, you need to shake it. Rav holds, not necessary, just like by tzitzis. Cutting is good enough. So I asked the Gemara of Savar Shmuel Lo Arminun Psikasan Zuyas Yasan. Does Shmuel not hold that cutting is good enough? Vatani Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chia, but didn't Shmuel say in the name of Rabbi Chia, Hitil l'shnei kronos bebas achas. V'achar kach pasak roshi chutin shalen ksherin, that if you put into two corners of the beged with one string at the same time, imagine trying to do this. You're making tzitzis, you put long strings through two corners and you somehow manage to tie them in a way where they're connected to each other, and then all you need to do is cut them in the middle and then they're going to be unconnected from each other. So Shmuel said that that's good enough. And my love, Shekosha V'achach Posek, aren't we talking about a case where you already tied it and now all you're doing is cutting it, and the cutting it is making it kosher, and Shmuel holds that that's good? Question mark. Says Marlo, Sheposek V'achach Kosher. No, we're talking about a case over there that you cut it and then you tie it. And that's exactly what Shmuel holds. Cutting it's not good enough. After you cut it, you then need to do something. So by schach, doing something means shaking it. By tzitzis, doing something means tying it, right? So posik v'achach kosher. Wait a second. That's Shmuel's big din over here? That you can cut it and then tie it? Maila Memra, what's the big chiddush there? That you're allowed to stick these humongous long strings into two corners of the bag at the same time, then cut them and then tie them? Of course you're allowed to do that. What would be the problem with that? What's the chiddush? So mahu detema bi'inan knaf b'shas psil v'leka. No, because I might think that at the very moment you put it into the bag, and even before you tie it, it already needs to be hanging in a way that's kosher, that it's on a single corner. Therefore comes tell me that that's not true. You don't need that. There's no such requirement that at the time you place it into the corner of the beged that it would be unique and designated for that corner alone. Meisvei, asked the Gemara Viter, Talan v'lo pasuk rashi chutin shalem psulin, if you hung it and did not cut it, so it's going to be pasul. My love, psulin liolam, doesn't that mean that it's going to be pasul and there's no way to fix it? That even cutting it's not going to help? V'tiyufta de Rav, and therefore that's a major kasha on Rav. Why? What did Rav hold? Rav held you can cut it and it's going to be kasher. So Amalach Rav. Rav says, no, you're misunderstanding the word. My psulin, you know what psulin means? Psulin ad sheyivsaku. What does that mean? It's possible until you cut it. But once you cut it, it's good. Ushmuel Amar and Shmuel will say, what do you think Shmuel is going to say? Psulin liolam, it's going to be possible forever. Because once you cut it, if there's nothing else you can do, it's not enough, right? Shmuel's one that holds by schach, you need to shake it. And by tzitzis, you need to do something after cutting it. If it's already tied, there's nothing you can do. V'chein amar Levi, and that's what Levi says, psulin liolam. V'chein amar Ras amar Shmuel, psulin liolam. So several amarim that hold like Shmuel. Ikita amri, others say that what Rav Masna said was actually a little different, that amar Rav Masna bedidi hava uvda. Not just that I had this discussion in the Beis Medrash, but no, this story, this exact shaila came up with me. And I went to Shmuel to ask a shaila. Is this kosher or not? Is there anything I could do for these tzitzis? And Shmuel told me, psulun liolam. Well, why are those last three lines of Gemara at all important? We already said that Rav Masna holds psulun liolam, that Shmuel holds psulun liolam, Levi holds psulun liolam. What do the last three lines add? Okay, but I think that was also v'chein amar Rav Masna amar Shmuel before. It was also psulin liolam. It was Rav Masna amar Shmuel. So what it adds is important to know that Maisa Rav, whenever you have an actual case that happened where an amor paskind, that's always much stronger than just saying something in theory in the Beis Medrash. Right? Like, for instance, 5 minutes ago we had a discussion about women wearing tzitzis, and I was like, yeah, of course women can wear tzitzis, no problem. That's in theory in the Beis Medrash. My daughter came over to me and said, Abba, I want you to buy me a pair of tzitzis, right? First of all, I'd be like, that's incredible, you're 2 years old and you're... But besides for that, that's...
Kids won't get
I would probably tell her no. Right? She wears Daniel's talis sometimes, but, you know, she's still young. We let it... No, that's fine. Okay. If you hang the tzitzis and then you cut them, they're pasul. And we also learned by sukkah ta'aseh v'lomina asui that the sukkah has to be made, it can't be pre-made. Mikan amru, and that's obviously a major concept, ta'aseh v'lomina asui. We have that a million times in this mesechta. Mikan amru, from here we say hidla le'as hagefen. If you run a vine over the sukkah, v'esadalas, v'esakisos, or other types of plants, v'sikhe chalgav, daban and then you put schach on top of that psula, it's going to be pasul. Hey chidami, what's the case that we're talking about? Ilema b'shalo katzitzan, if you have not yet cut the vine, my iriyu mishum tasav lo manasui. If you haven't cut it, the problem is not a problem with tasav lo manasui. What's the problem?
It's not
schach. It's connected to the ground. Tepkele de mechubarin inu. It is a more obvious reason that it's pasul. It's because it's still mechubar to the karka. It's still attached to the ground. Ella must be bishakatzitzan. We're talking about where you did cut it. For katani psula. And it says that it's pasul. It's possible, even though you did cut it. Who's that a raya to? Shmuel, good. So you see that we don't say cutting, it's good enough. It's yufta the Rav, big fat question mark. That's a yufta on Rav. Yeah. Rav holds that the cutting it is good enough. So Amalach Rav, Rav could answer you, no, our mission is not a problem for me. Hacham ha'eskinu d'shalfinu shlufi t'lo minkara asiyo didhu. Rav will tell you that the case that we're speaking about in the Mishnah is you cut it in such a way that it's not so obvious that it's been cut. Meaning the part that was cut off is still so close in proximity to where it was cut from that it looks like it wasn't cut. And therefore, we're going to passel it. But not that cutting is not... Cutting generally is good enough, as long as you make it very clear that you're cutting it. But if you cut in a way that leaves it very iffy, that it doesn't look like you really cut it, that's going to be a problem. Mikal makom, talan vachkach pasak, kasha l'rav. But nevertheless, we still have another kasha in Rav, because we said talan vachkach pasak, right? That if you hang it and then you cut it by the tzitzis, right? That was going to be a problem. That's a kasha in Rav. So kasha, so that's in fact a kasha in Rav. The case of the tzitzis is really a kasha in Rav. But our mishnah is not a kasha in Rav. Period for now. Main point number one. So probably a Marisayan type of issue, right? But I'm sure that we shouldn't discuss it over here. I didn't have a chance to look around. Main point number one. Or it could be that it's not that asiya means it needs to be a maisa chashuva. It needs to be something that's a very chashuva maisa in order for it to be called asiya. And if you cut it in a very not strong way, so maybe that's not called a Maisa Chashuva. Okay, main point number one. All Amorayim except for Rav hold that if you put tzitzis in and then cut them, it's possible. Right? Everyone except for Rav holds, you put tzitzis in and then you cut them, it's possible.
Put tzitzis in and then you cut them?
Yes. Again, Rav holds cutting is called asiya. No one else agrees. Lema kitanoi says, maybe it's actually machlokas tanoim. Maybe this whole discussion, whether you say ktsitsasan zui asiyasan, that cutting is making or cutting is not making, is really machlokas tanoim. How so? Because we're going to have a mishnah later on of our velikton. We're going to have a mishnah later on in Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. We're almost up to in the shir already. Of our velikton. It's going to quote about a case of a hadas, that you have a hadas that has berries growing on it, right? And you're not allowed to pick the berries. So let's say you did pick the berries, pasul. That's pasul. Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadik. Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadik says it's going to be pasul. The chacham makshirin, and the chachamim say that it's kasher, right? So let's say we're talking about a hadas that has so many berries, there are more berries than there are leaves, and therefore it's going to be pasul, right? Now, if you took off the berries, generally speaking, it would be kasher. The only thing is you're not allowed to take off the berries on Yantif. You know why? Why are you not allowed to take off the berries on Yantif? Because it's a masakin man. It's making something unuseful now useful. It's making it a kasher hadas. So let's say you violated the Divrei Chachamim. They said not to pick it on Yantif, and you did pick it on Yantif. So Rabbi Shimon Yod Tzadik says, we're not going to let you have a kosher hadas because you violated an Aveira. Absolutely no good. And the Chachamim say kasher. So what are they arguing about? So Savrua, we're assuming that the Kuli Alma, by the way, just to introduce you what we're about to do, we're about to give three different possible suggestions of what that machlokas is about. So be clear on the machlokas first before you understand what the underlying theme, the three suggestions of the underlying theme. Let's say again what the machlokas is. You have a hadas that has more berries than it has leaves. That's no good. You're not allowed to pick the berries off on Yantif. You're allowed to do it before Yantif, it's fine, but not on Yantif. If you pick the berries off on Yantif, we have a machlokas whether that hadas now becomes kosher. Rav Shimon Yatzadik says no. The Chacham say yes. What is the root of the dispute? So Savrua, we assume number one, Dukali Amalul of Tzarcheget, that everyone holds that in order to have a kosher lulav, it needs to be bound together appropriately. What does it mean, bound together appropriately? You need to have the hadas and the aravos lulav all tied together. The alfinon lulav misuka. And we can derive laws of lulav from laws of sukkah. D'chsiv gabe sukkah, we know it says by sukkah, ta'aseh, and we know that that means v'lo mina asui, that a sukkah needs to be made, it can't be pre-made. So what do you think that means? If the sukkah needs to be made and can't be pre-made, then also we're suggesting the lulav needs to be made and not pre-made, meaning you need to, when you bind those three minim together, you have to be making it kosher by binding them together. If you bind them together and it's puzzle, and then you pick some berries, and that's what makes it kosher, that's a problem of ta'aseh lomina asui. So my lab b'hakam levki, isn't this what they're arguing about? Demand makshir, the one that says that it's kosher, savra aminin gabi sukkah, k'tzitzasin zui asiyasan. We'll hold like Rav, that by sukkah, if you cut it, that's enough of an asiyah. And if that's the case, then by lulav, what also might be enough of an asiyah? Enough of a maisa? Picking the berries. So v'gabi lulav nami arminon, l'kitasin zui asiyasan. If cutting schach is enough of an asiyah, enough of a maisa, so picking the berries might be enough of a maisa and will make your lulav kosher. Uman de pasul, the one that says that it's pasul, holds like Shmuel. Sever lo amrin gabi sukkah k'tzitzasin zui asiyasan. We'll hold that by sukkah, we cannot say k'tzitzasin zui asiyasan, that cutting it is enough of maisa. V'gabi lulav nami lo amrin l'kitasin zui asiyasan, same by lulav. We're not going to say that picking it is the enough of maisa. So isn't that what they're arguing about? So don't you see the machlokas Rav and Shmuel's already, a machlokas tanaim, machlokas Rav Shimon Yatzadik and the Chachamim. And so Gemara, lo, that's not what they're arguing about. Tukuli alma lo amrin gabi sukkah k'tzitzasin zui asiyasan. Maybe everyone agrees to Shmuel. Good. That we don't say by sukkah k'tzitzasin zui asiyasan. V'hacha b'melef lulav misukkah kamiflagi. Over here they're arguing about whether we in fact learn dinim of lulav from dinim of sukkah. Man de machshir, the one that says it's kosher savar lo yalfin al lulav misukkah, will say that we cannot derive dinim of lulav from sukkah. Uman de pasul, the one that says that it's pasul, Savor yafina lulav misukkah, will say that you can derive laws of lulav from laws of sukkah, and therefore, just like by sukkah, there's a problem if you just cut it. According to Shmuel, by sukkah, if you just cut it, what's the din?
No good.
So too by the lulav, if you just pick the berries after it's ready tied together, what's the din? No good. Right? That's the machlokas. So that's version number two of the machlokas. Or of the Nekudas HaMachlokas, of the root of the dispute, whether we learn lulav from sukkah. V'yibay, same, a third possibility. Isfir lundu lulav tzarcheged. Look, if we held that you actually need to bind the three minim of the lulav, kuli amlo pligi delfinu lulav misukkah, then everyone would hold that you can learn lulav from sukkah, the laws of lulav from the laws of sukkah, if in fact you hold that there's something to make on the lulav, that you need to bind it, that there's some cheftah shalmitzah that needs to be made by binding it together. Over here, this is what they're arguing about. They're arguing whether you need an eged at all, whether you need to bind the lulav together at all. If you don't need to bind the eged at all, you don't need to bind the lulav at all, so picking the berries is not going to ruin anything, because there's nothing that needs to, there's no chefta shel mitzvah that needs to be made. There's no tasav l'menasoi problem. But if you hold that, lulav does need to be bound together, so then it follows the same rules as sukkah. And just like by sukkah, cutting it is not enough, so too by lulav, picking the berries is not enough. Ubeplukta da'ani tanayin. And that machlokas is actually machlokas of the following tanayin. Detanya, that machlokas, whether lulav needs to be bound or not, is the following machlokas, and we saw this in Shir. Lulav bein agud bein she'eno agud kasher. A lulav, whether it's bound together or not bound together, is kasher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ogud Kosher, She'eno Ogud Pasul. Rabbi Yehuda says what? You need to bind it together. My time at Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda hold it needs to be bound together? Yalef, Lekicha, Lekicha, Me Agudas Ezov. He derives Gzerushava, Lekicha, Lekicha, from Agudas Ezov. Ksif Hasan by Agudas Ezov. Anyone know what Agudas Ezov is about? What's Agudas Ezov? The hyssop grass, or whatever it is, but for what? For what purpose?
Ezov,
For the paraduma, right? The sprinkling. So just like by, but also, right? Also, they would use it for the in Mitzrayim. To they did agudas ezov in Mitzrayim to put the blood on the doorposts, right? So just like over there, so ksiv hasam, it says over there, kachtem agudas ezov ul kachtem is the lashon the pasuk uses. Uksiv hachan, it says by dalaminim ul kachtem lachem biyom rishon. So we darshin malal and baguda, just like by agudas ezov, it has to be a bound together unit. Avkanavi baguda. So to over here also, what's here? By sukkah, by dalin minim, also baguda needs to be bound together unit. Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon will say, l'kicha mi l'kicha lo yalfinan. We don't have such a gzeirah shava. We're not so worried about l'kicha l'kicha. We're not interested. We don't have a tradition that there is any such gzeirah shava. Main point number two. Did we ever get to main point number two?
No.
Main point number two. Three suggestions of what the machlokas, whether picking berries from a hadas on Yantif is kosher, is about. Three suggestions of what the machlokas is about by picking berries from a hadas on Yantif. Right, what the root of the dispute is about picking berries from a hadas on Yantif. Right, we had a machlokas whether if you pick berries from a hadas on Yantif, whether it's kosher or not. Three suggestions what that machlokas is about. A. It's about ktsitsasan zuli asiyasan. What does that mean? Good, if cutting is enough of a maisa, meaning it's the same machlok as Rav and Shmuel. So possibility A, it's the same exact machlok as Rav and Shmuel, ktsitsasan zuli asiyasan. B, it might be about yalfinan lulav misukkah. We derive dinam of lulav from dinam of sukkah. If we can, then what does that mean?
Possible.
If we can derive dinam of lulav from dinam of sukkah, then it means lulav also has a dinam of tasav lamanasoi. And as Melman points out, would therefore be a problem here. But, what? Yes. And C. It's just a ghost. See, lulav tzarech eged. Lulav tzarech eged is what they're arguing about. Does lulav need any sort of binding together? And we pointed out that happens to be machlokas tanaim. Now, what were the two opinions about lulav tzarech eged? We had one opinion that says it must be bound. The other opinion says totally unnecessary. Right. So now, four lines into the wide lines. So we have two known opinions. One that says must be bound, and if it's not, it's puzzle. The other one says doesn't even need to be bound at all. So who's the following Brysa going like? Brysa says, Lulav mitzvah liagdo. Vimlo agdo kasher. What does that mean?
Doesn't have to be,
but it's the right thing to do. Well, who's that going like? E, Rabbi Yehuda, kilo agdo amai kasher. If you want to say it's like Rabbi Yehuda, well, Rabbi Yehuda holds, it's not just mitzvah liagdo, it's a requirement. If you don't do it, it's bad. It's possible. Even Rabbanan, if it's going like the Rabbanan, my mitzvah, then why even the Chachila do you have to bind it together? According to Rabbanan, it doesn't need to be bound at all. So this is the Gemara we saw in Shir a couple of weeks ago. Answers the Gemara, Liolam Rabbanani. Really, we're assuming like the Rabbanan, well, that it doesn't need to be bound. Why is it a mitzvah to bind it? Umishum Sheremar. Zekeli van veyu is not the fun of the mitzvos. It's based on the pasuk of Zekeli van veyu that we should always do mitzvos in a beautiful way. So the binding is not a din that a lulav needs to be bound in order to be a cheftza shalulav. The binding is just to make the lulav nice. So that's a mitzvah, but it's not absolutely required. Main point number three. Even if you hold lulav ein sarach eged, you should still bind it for hider mitzvah. Even if you'll lulav ein tzarech eged, you should still bind it for the sake of hidur mitzvah. Question: should we stop there because it's two dots, and next week's daf is short?
Yeah, see.
Okay, so we'll stop there. All right. Shkayach, everybody, for coming. Just to not go a day without Torah. Okay.